Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Can the congregation say amen with me? Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. It's great to be home again. I feel it. I feel that way all the time. It is always an honor and a privilege to get to be here. Ashley said, it wasn't a plan, or it wasn't in my plan or his, but I'm so glad it was in God's plan. Amen. And even as Pastor Ashley said this morning, because of the weather, which I didn't have anything to do with bringing the weather, okay? I came, but I didn't have anything to do with the weather. But we know that those of you that are here, you made a tremendous effort to come. And we're grateful to have you. We're grateful that you showed that forth this morning. And I know that there are folks that are listening and so forth to the program. And we thank you that you are listening for those that are tuned in to podcasts. Ashley said a little while ago, well, I'm just going to let you go up. Everybody here knows you. And I'll go, wait a minute, but I see new people. And then he says, well, you're right. There are some people that wasn't here a year ago, and so they don't know you. And I said, well, I'll just say a little bit about myself. But my name is Alvin Anderson, for those of you that may not know me or remember. Believe it or not, I am North American, okay, from South Carolina. It may not sound like that, but I'm thankful to the Lord for 41 years of salvation and serving him, following him. And I thank the Lord for 39 years of missions work in Central and South America that he's had me involved in. And then, of course, 25 years of marriage to a woman from Nicaragua who's been faithfully serving with me. And, of course, two biological daughters, one 24 that's been serving the last 4.5 years in the U.S. Navy, and almost 22-year-old that was born in Honduras, serving the Lord there as well, recently married, okay? Amy, for those of you that remember Amy, she was here with me 3 years ago, and they're doing well. Another thing that I'm mindful of, and I'm looking at time here, but that don't mean a thing, just bear with me, okay? looking at Mitch back there and a couple others, and there's my daughter Miranda. Raise your hand over there, our Honduran daughter that we allowed to come back to be with you guys, okay? All right, all right, and great to see her, and then a couple others and stuff, Chico and some of the others, and especially in Hot Springs at the Ministers Conference there, our senior pastor, Tim Brooks, and some of the others over there, Paul. You know, when I'm up, they ask me, well, how is Melvin? And how is Marcus, Pastor Marcus, and Victor, and Carlos? And I'm like, even when we were over there, Mitch and so forth was asking me for a couple of the guys. And I'm thinking in my mind, you guys are so old school and outdated. Okay? Right? And that's all right. I appreciate you asking me about them. But, when you ask me about Marcus and Marvin and Victor, you're asking about our converts from 14 years ago, who are now the grandfathers in the faith, in the ministry, and in our ministry today. And when I say the grandfather, it could be great-great-grandfather, because not only did Marcus and Victor and Charlie and the other ones become Christians, got discipled, but they've discipled another whole core of young men and young women, and that core of young men and young women have discipled another core. So what you need to do, Mitch, and the rest of you bunch, just get yourself a ticket and get back down and meet your grandkids of today that are serving God and carrying on the ministry, okay? But I appreciate you asking about them. I really do. But you guys are really outdated, all right? Right, Miranda? You've been back for what, almost a year now or a year? How long has it been? 8 months, okay, you're still a little up to date though, right? Yeah, I think so. Brenda got out of jail when you were still there, and she moved into the house while you were still there. Okay, all right, so I can only say really right now, Miranda is the only one in the church here really that's really activated, okay? All right, but I'm happy, and I'm looking forward to when you guys come back. I said when you guys come back, okay? So, Again, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to meet you family members that are new and so forth. And that's exactly right. I'm your family. And as you know, you don't get to choose your family, okay? So I may be the black sheep of the family, but you can't get rid of me, you know? Can't get rid of me. Pastor Tim, again, our senior pastor from down in Hot Springs. We've known each other for almost 20 years now. And Mitch, it was about, what, 5 years ago that you guys were last in Honduras? 5 or 6? Huh? 7 or 8? Man, you way outdated. You know, man, it's time to get back. I know Chico, what? Where is Chico? Okay, what? 3 years ago? Two? Okay, all right. You're still outdated, buddy. Okay, all right. Have you remembered Cesar? Do you have any idea of when I talk about this? Because if I tell you all some stories right now about Hesser and Cesar and, Melissa. Okay, you wouldn't even know who I'm talking about, but those are our new crop of young people that have came to Christ while they were in juvenile detention, have served their time, have gotten out, and they're with us doing the work of the ministry now. Y'all need to come back and meet them and then, you know, bring some information back to the congregation and so forth. But we're grateful God is doing good things. And just to describe the work of the ministry in Honduras, we work primarily in 3 categories, and even my hopefully short message this morning will be 3 categories. But Jesus said to the disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And everybody knows that there are 2 major things that every fisherman needs. And one is a place to go. And that will either be a river, a pond, or the ocean, lake, or something like that, right? And the second thing you must have is the bait. Accordingly to the place where you're going to fish, you need bait adequate. And so, you choose the bait. So for us, and the call that God has placed on our life as we've been ministering in Honduras for the last 23 years, this May, 23 years there, we're working with kids and young people, okay? That's the target. I mean, we're talking about going to fish, right? Some of you go fishing for salmon, some for tilapia and different types of fish. But God has called us to the children and to teenagers and so forth. Where do we find them? So we're ministering to kids and teenagers from the streets, okay? Kids and teenagers that live on the streets. I've been in several of the major cities here in America, and I've never found a person younger than 20 years old living on the streets in any one of the cities that I've been in here and gone out on the streets at night to look for to minister to. In Honduras, by the time they're 20, they've already built some kind of shack or something and off the streets, even though they may still be in a life of crime or violence or drug sales or something to that nature. So the majority of the kids that when I talk about living on the streets, we're talking about from 5 years old, primarily up to about 18, maybe 20 years old. And, you know, there are some even older. But we're ministering to children and young people in impoverished areas, okay? I've said this before and I'll say it again. In fact, let me just say this. 10 years ago, and I've shared this with you guys on numerous occasions, but 10 years ago, 69% of the Honduran population, and let me just say the country of Honduras is the size geographically of the state of Arkansas. And I believe Arkansas is 3 million people, but Honduras is 8.5 million people, okay? And again, 10 years ago, 69% of the Honduran population had an annual income of $1,000, $87 a month. Now we're in 2019. Well, let me just go back even to November of 2018. 10 years later, what is that statistic now? Around the same 8.5 million people, but now 71% of the Honduran population has an annual income of $1,000. It's gotten worse. And so when you think about that $86 a month, how do the people live? Well, one meal a day and primarily one meal every 2 days. Define that meal. Maybe two or three corn tortillas, and if anything else, a half cup of coffee, generally lukewarm and syrup is sweet. That's the meal, okay? For that people group, 71%. So then, I was telling this to someone, I don't know if it was in Arkansas or Texas, but I was trying to describe to them what a hungry person would not do. And the only way I could describe it was in 2 Kings chapter 5. If you know the scriptures there, Israel was under siege by their enemies. Nobody could get out, nobody could come in. And the people were starving. And the scriptures there, 2 Kings, I believe, chapter 4 or 5, I believe it's chapter 5, talks about two women, and the Bible says that they were harlots. But there was a situation, like a quarrel going in between them, and the king was passing by at the time, and they cried out to the king to resolve their problem. And he said, "What's going on with you?" Listen at this. It's the Bible, but it is gross. So one of the women says, "This woman and I agreed today to eat my child." I'm talking Bible. I mean, I know eyebrows will go up, but you can find it in 2 Kings chapter 5. Okay. "And so we ate my child, and then tomorrow we would eat her child. So here it is tomorrow. We ate my child yesterday, and this woman today has hidden her child." Okay, we've never felt that type of hunger to cannibalism. That's in the scriptures, folks. That's the scripture that I use to describe to someone in Texas. You know, when a person is really hungry, I am not responsible for that caravan that came up to America. None of my people were in that caravan. Okay, there were a lot of criminals in it, yes, but there were a lot of hungry people. That's not the right way to try to get in another country. I don't approve of that by any means. In fact, us preaching the gospel there, you know, I know that the world is small and people are coming into the country. And I always just ask, we're doing our best that if they're going to come into the U.S. legally, we want them to come in as Christians and not criminals, okay? All right? So that's our goal. That's, you know, so that not just because of the U.S., but so that they can more than ever go to heaven. Okay, that's the real goal, all right? But so, anyway, so when you're working with people that live in an impoverished area, like I described, you know, $1,000 annually, there is hunger. And a hungry person will steal, they will kill, they will sell their body, drugs, guns, they will do anything that it takes. So our ministry involves going into the impoverished areas, beginning with the small kids, and, you know, as far as we can, generally up to about 14. And we have preschools, we have daycare centers, we have feeding programs, we have educational programs, trying to teach them to cut hair, the girls, whether it's girls or boys, to learn barber skills, beautician skills, computer skills. Anyway, just numerous skills. And, of course, soccer is one of the things that we implement. That's one of our bet, okay? And that's what we do to them. And as far as our bet, as I mentioned, food, one, education, providing educational opportunities for kids that would otherwise have no hope of getting an education at all, okay? And then, of course, our third bet that we use to draw kids and teenagers to us is sports, primarily soccer. So we're in the impoverished areas, and then, well, because of, you know, some of them fall through the cracks, obviously we aren't getting to everybody. So in those impoverished areas, there are some kids that go to live on the streets. There are some kids that get involved in drugs and trafficking and gang activity. So for those that have gone to the streets, we're on the streets. We go on Monday evenings and Wednesday evenings. We take food. That's one of our bit. They come to us. We share the gospel with them. We try to instill vision and self-worth into their lives. And when you extend your hands and your heart, you've got to have, I mean, if they say, as many of them says, "Papi Alvin, I want something better. I'm ready." I don't want to keep living like this. Well, we've been sharing the gospel. We've been extending our hands. The name of the ministry is Manos Extendidas, extended hands. So now what are we going to do? Well, I didn't really mean that, you know, but I mean, the Lord will bless you. He'll take it. No. No. Okay, come. All right. They want to go to school. They need a place to stay. As Miranda, do you have any idea at all during the 1 year that you stayed with us and helping us out there? Miranda helped me do a lot of media things. But do you have any idea at all about how many people came through our house, slept in our house during the year that you were there? Well, I can just say in the 22 almost 23 years that we've lived in Honduras, we lost count a few years ago, but it's not exceeded 400, okay? And I'm talking about kids that we've taken in from the streets, get out of jail that the parents don't want anything to do with them, or they don't even have parents and so forth, or the parents can't control them, and they come into our home and they live with us, sometimes for 2 months, sometimes for the kids that have lived with us the longest, we're living with us for 14 years. That's what we're doing. And providing them, as you as parents would for your kids, education, teaching them manners, and the right way to grow up, how to get a job, how to brush your teeth, how to, you know, the importance of hygiene, take a bath, and so forth. This is what we do as we bring them in from the streets once they've given their lives to the Lord. And the third area that we're working in for those that have broken the law and gone to jail, we are in the juvenile detention centers, and we do the same thing, take the gospel there, take sports program, trade school classes such as Barber and the others that I mentioned, and we're ministering to them there. And what has been the results? I wish I could say that every one of them has came to the Lord, but no. But when you're talking about kids in jail, what did they go there for? Just for shoplifting a candy bar? No. No. Because some kids, when they get involved in the gangs and so forth, they kill, they steal, they extortion. And so some of the stories that you've heard me talked about, some of the young men and young women that are now our upfront leaders in the ministry, as you heard me mention, Hesser, and then the other young man, Cesar, they came out of jail. They're serving the Lord. I mean, they were serving the Lord ever since they were in jail, sharing the gospel while they were there, and they're continuing to do that. Cesar, even though years ago, as a gang member, he took the life of a rival gang member, did his time in jail, but even in jail through our program, he gave his life to the Lord. Hesser, today, I don't have pictures for you. I wasn't expected to come, but I was messaging with Hesser this morning. And yes, because of his job, he's working 7 days a week. He is in a, just like a little, what do you call it in the mall, a gazebo, a kiosk in the market area where he sells cell phones and cell phone accessories and so forth. And he is very successful, 25 years old. I mean, you know, he's working for someone else, but he's producing them a lot of money out of other two. It's him and two others, and he is producing more daily than the others together, okay? He is one of our young men. I mean, when you come back, Chico and Mitch and the rest of you folks, I'm looking around and I'm seeing several faces. You will meet Hesser, but you will never know. He is the kid who had been an MS-13 gang member and at 15 years old took out three teenage girls. He was an executor in the MS-13 gang. He was ordered to take the girls out because they were breaking the rules, and he took them out. 8 months later, he was captured for those triple murder. Sadly, well, anyway, in Honduras, if you were a minor, you can never do more than 8 years. He did 6 years and 7 months. But 1 year and a half into being in jail, he finally decided to come to Christ. And when I say finally decided, I mean, I don't know. I know that up in America, y'all minister to people. And some of the obstacles you find is that people just don't care about the Lord or the church. What the obstacles we face when we're working with kids in poverty and on the streets and in jail, you know what the number one obstacle is? I'm not good enough for God to love me. We have to get them over that. That is our number one obstacle, folks. They might know the scriptures, but that mindset I'm nothing but garbage. God can never love me. I mean, you know, and that is the mindset. And we're talking about kids. Hester was one of them. Cesar at 17 took a rival gang member's life. Melissa right now is 19 years old. She's been out of jail for about a year. But it's been difficult getting Melissa, one, protecting her, hiding her out from her own gang, ex-gang members. Well, she is. But Melissa, her name, what was given to her by the gang, was called La Diabla, the devil. And she lived up to it. She brought in thousands and thousands of dollars for the gang through extortion charges. Go to a business, you will pay me X amount of dollars weekly or I will kill you. And they did. They would. Okay? Melissa led a large amount of members of that gang. So my wife and her team held a 1 week from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the afternoon for 7 days in the girls' juvenile detention center. At the end of that, 17 girls came to Christ. Melissa was one of them. Okay? 5 of those 17 girls were members of the 18th Street Gang. Of course, as prayer was done and deliverance and so forth, because I'm telling you, you know, I'm very leery about talking about deliverance and stuff like that, but it is in the scriptures and it has its place, okay? And so, you know, anyway, being deliverance from demon spirits and so forth, there's no way that you're going to be involved in murder and witchcraft and not have to be delivered. But Melissa now is 19 years old. One of the most beautiful young ladies as far as her spirit is concerning and serving the Lord. And you know what, Mitch? You don't even know her, buddy. So come on back. It's time. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to tell you, right? Okay. Let me just share with you a little bit this morning. For me to do this, I got to just tell y'all right now, you're my congregation in Honduras. The name of our church is called Manos a la Obra, okay? Iglesia Cristiano, Manos a la Obra, okay? Hands at Work Christian Church. Basically, it's called Hands at Work because everybody that comes into the church, you will be involved in the work of the ministry in one way, fashion, form, or fashion. Whether it's in the hospitals, in the jail, in the streets, involved in the construction of homes for the impoverished people, especially those whom have come to Christ, involved in the daycare center ministry or whatever, but you will become involved in the work of the ministry. So since you're not with us in Honduras, you got to get involved in this form. Be praying for us, okay? If the Lord leads you and prompts you, continue to give to us. You're giving to this church. Every part, part of every dollar you give goes to Honduras and help us to buy backpacks and shoes and uniforms and clippers. And I want you all to know that soccer balls don't last very long when you're playing kids with soccer. I'm talking about teenage gang members and stuff, 13 to 17 years old. Soccer balls don't last very long when they go against the razor wire at the top of the wall, okay? So thank you for helping us buying the soccer balls and so forth. But just to say, you're my congregation. It's a new year. And what has God put on my heart for us? His timing. His timing. God has his timing for his church, for our lives individually, but God's plan for your life individually always is built around his plan for the church. And I want you to know that he has a timing. Exodus chapter 12, if you'll turn there with me. Okay. Exodus chapter 12. And here we can see that God told Israel specific times, months, and days about doing certain things, okay? Now, and I just want to let you know this. If you'll read with me just there from verse 1, I think to around verse verse 3. The scripture says there, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month. Specific instructions. This month, January in our case, okay, is to be the first month of the year for you. And God gave some instructions. The whole congregation of the community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, another specific day, the 10th of this month. I want you to know God is specific. He gives us instructions and he doesn't make it difficult. Okay. You go on to read all the way down into verse 18. He reiterates again, in the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. God has a time. He has a time frame. We're in the first month of the year. And I know that God has been speaking to your leadership. Okay? God has been speaking to you. You know, many times as parents, we have goals that we set for the new year. And I quit making losing weight one of my goals. I just don't want to be a liar anymore, so I just quit making that my goal. Okay? All right? I mean, I'm trying, but I haven't. No. Anyway, look. But as I talk to you this morning about this, I want you to understand timing. Okay. But all of us are in a place. Where was Moses and Aaron at the time God spoke to them? What does the scripture say in verse 1? God did what? God spoke. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, where were they? In Egypt. Let's define Egypt. At that time, the hub of the African world, well, in fact, just the Asian world, okay? For you, maybe you don't know where Egypt is, but, you know, northeast of Africa. It is an African country, okay? But at that time, Egypt was like the hub of the world, you know, in every aspect, good and bad. They say that the wheel was first invented in Egypt. Now, I don't, you know, how, I haven't researched that then, okay? But Egypt, it was a lot of good things. And the best thing about Egypt that I can tell you was that the children of Israel were there, God's people, a representative of God's people. But Egypt was known more so for its paganism, cannibalism, the violence, that's just the law, and every foul thing that you can think about. It's kind of like America is getting today, sadly. Okay? But look, God spoke to Moses and Aaron in Egypt. Now, three categories for your life today. Are you in Egypt? Are you crossed the Red Sea, which represents water baptism? Egypt represents the world. Crossing the Red Sea represents coming out of the world through water, well, and being baptized. And then there's the desert and all that went on in the desert. And then the other category is crossing the Jordan River and coming into the Promised Land. Now, you got to understand that coming into the Promised Land is not like going to heaven. There were wars and fight battles in the Promised Land. But the Promised Land represents you're in a place of God's promise for your life. Okay? You're in a land flowing with milk and honey, but you're in battles. In your personal life, in your marriage, in your finances, in every aspect, you're in battle. And the greatest battle that ever goes on for human beings is in the mind. Okay? And many of you are there. You're in the place that God promised you to be, but you're in constant warfare spiritually. But you know, you came out of the desert and they crossed the Jordan River, which symbolics to me is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? For me, okay? Now, you're in one of these places, folks, but you're not in Egypt, hopefully. Because if you're in Egypt, that means you're still in your sins, right? Okay? But even in Egypt, God provided Moses and Aaron, symbolism of salvation, right? Every foul thing in Egypt. And I'm talking to y'all, my congregations in Honduras. We have three churches within the city, okay? And so we're all about getting ready to move with God, hear God, God's timing for our lives. I don't want you to think, and if you do, please check with the Lord about changing that. Well, I really want to know what's the Lord saying for my life right now. Because you see, there are a lot of people that are reading the Bible and they go, well, this is what that means to me. You got to stop that to me. This is what that means. This is what God says, period. Because God is not going to move the church based on where you feel that you are in the Lord. God will move his body based on the church. And what I mean is, you know, the body of Christ, his body. Does he care about you individually? Yes, he does. How old are you? He cares about you. You know? I mean, what? Matthew 21:16, from the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has ordained perfect praise. So those two-month-old babies, those six-month-old babies that are doing gaga, egugu, pee-pee, and poo-poo, God cares about them. Out of their mouths is where the scripture says God receives perfect praise. God cares about you. You're 2 months old, you're 5 years old, 8 years old, whatever, God cares about you individually. But you must understand, when it comes to salvation and God moving you out of your sins, out of the situation that you're in, and many of us made that situation worse. It's one thing to be in a hog pen, but it's another thing to dig up the mud and wallow more in it. And that's what was happening in Egypt. That's what was happening in the lives of many of the people that we're working with, men like young men like Hesser, like Melissa, and the things that they got involved in. Nevertheless, God spoke to them in their sins. And his plan was to bring them out in a timely way. Okay? So, okay, nobody's here is in sin. You're serving God with all your heart. You have crossed the Red Sea. Okay? And maybe you haven't been baptized yet, but you're talking to your pastor or your leaders about it. Excellent. Okay, so the next phase was the desert. The desert is not a fun place to be in, nor physically or spiritually, okay? In the daytime, it's extremely hot. At night, it's extremely cold. And, of course, we know that. It's symbolic to us because the scripture says that God, in the daytime, had a pillar of cloud, okay, that followed Israel. They protected them from the intense rays of the sun during the day and from freezing at night and from stepping on snakes and scorpions. God provided a column of fire at night that they could see and that they could be warm. Okay? He was with them. I don't know where you are, but let me just say, no matter if it's in Egypt, you're in the grossness of sins, but God was with Israel there. In the desert, his plan was to take the children of Israel to the promised land, and he did. It was not his plan that it took 40 years, okay? The journey from where they were in Egypt to the promised land, geographically, miles, talking about, and even for 3 million people, because that's about the number that Moses led out of Egypt, but it would have only taken 3 months. That's all. Why did they take 40 years? Doubt, unbelief, sin. And it wasn't because God wasn't faithful to them in the desert. God, if you're in that desert part of your life, there are several things that are happening. One, for Israel, there was a lot of rebellion in the desert. They were out of Egypt. They didn't have to worry anymore about being whipped as slaves, forced to make bricks and forced to worship idol gods or have their kids snatched away from them and offered as human sacrifices to the gods of Egypt. They didn't have to worry about that. Now that they're in the desert, they were free from sin, free from slavery, but There were so many things in them that God had to bring. God could not take them into the promised land because of things that were in them that had to be exposed, had to come out. The desert is a hard place. Jesus spent 40 days, 40 nights there. John the Baptist, the prophet Elijah, and so many other men and women of God went through the desert. And you might be there. But I want you to know that your time in the desert is not determined by God. It's determined by your willingness to let God say, I'm just going to use Ashley. God will say, Ashley, for you, this is the first month. And God is speaking specifically to each one of his people. And he has a plan. Now, in the desert, like I said, every one of the men and women of God that were greatly used by God were trained in the desert, in that hard place. But it's not a place where you should think it's impossible. I can't serve God. Some of you young men, you've came from the world. You've left the world of drugs and promiscuity and so many other things. You were so used to making your living, running your business by cheating. Now you're serving God. You've came out of that system. You're trying to do it the right way, and you're losing financially. I don't know where you are, but God does. But he is with you. It's a hard place. Don't give up and desire to go back to Egypt, because in Egypt we had onions and meat and so forth. That's a lie, by the way. When do slaves get to eat meat? So here you are. You're not in the world anymore. You're in a hard place in your Christian life, and you start imagining, man, when I was in the world, I used to have it made so good, and, you know, good friends. But they still betrayed you, man. Quit lying. You know, they still betrayed you. But you start imagining the world, the toe of the world comes so tight back on you that you start thinking, it was better then than what I'm going through now. And then this preacher we got called Ashley. I mean, you know, I don't even know if I really like him or not. All right? You're in places where the desert represents testing. It represents difficult time. But God was there with the pillar of cloud, with the column of fire. He was there. He manifested himself, bringing water from the rock, providing. God was there. God is with you in this desert time. Now, you've gone on through that. And, of course, you're in the land. You're in the promised land. You've crossed the Jordan. This is what God promised you. But there is the battle. That was at Jericho, at Ai, and so many other battles. Are you there? You don't have to answer me. I'm just trying to encourage you. God has timing. He is saying for you and you and you, the first day of this is the first month of the year. And this day, God has his timing. But understand, God's timing is not based on you. Well, I'm just waiting for what God's timing is for my life. No, I'm waiting for what God's timing is. Period. Because if you're saying I'm waiting on God's timing for my life, that means you're in control. And you're waiting, okay, come on, God. What's in this for me? I'm waiting on God's timing. God says, take up the tent stakes and move on. That's God. What is the church doing? What is the body of Christ here doing? What is the direction that God has given the pastor? And you're here, you're in the desert, or you're in the promised land. Yes. They didn't just cross the Jordan River and stay there. They moved on and spread out. When God created Adam, the first instruction that God gave Adam was, be fruitful and multiply. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, you know, if you are my disciples, what did he say? Bring forth what? Fruit. Okay? That's God's plan for us. You're in the promised land, but you're in battles financially, maritally, in school. You're being picked on because of your Christian faith. You're the only one in your class that has been walking in sexual purity, and you're looked upon as the weird one. I can't tell you, I mentioned our oldest daughter that's in the Navy. 5,100 people aboard the USS Eisenhower aircraft carrier. And she walks by and she goes, "Hi, hello." And the reputation that she has, I can't even say it from here, but, oh, there goes the weird. And then there's a couple of letter words there that you just can't say. And why is she looked upon as the weird? Because she says hi to people. She prays before she eats her meal in front of the other sailors in the cafeteria. She won't participate in their gorges or their drinking parties. She is the weird. I can't tell you how many times Annie has called crying, almost screaming, bawling, in the land flowing with milk and honey. But you got to make a stand, and it might just be you. But if God is with me, why am I having such a hard time in school? Why is everybody laughing at me? Why does even the teacher make fun of me? If I'm doing, I would be better off in Egypt. Just do the things that the other kids are doing. No, no. Everybody in Egypt was either dead or destined to. Is that what you want? Stay with God. He's moving forward. Okay? And he's moving you forward. His timing, not just for me, God's timing for his people. Where are you? Be encouraged. Don't be encouraged if you're still in Egypt. Don't be encouraged. But if you're in the desert, perk your ears up to what the Lord is saying. And as the scripture says, harden not your heart. I want to tell you, folks, Exodus, the book of Exodus, 40 chapters, is parallel to the book of Hebrews, 13 chapters. Hebrews tells us about faith, and that's what it took for Israel. Hebrews talks about there is a rest for the people of God. That's what the people of God were destined and looking for. And so many other things. The priesthood. But anyway, just if you sometimes my daughters will call and ask, "Dad, give me some suggested Bible reading. Where should I read?" Okay, well, I'm giving that to you. You didn't ask me for it, but I would just recommend, if you want to read the book of Exodus and then parallel to that, read the book of Hebrews. There is growth in there for you, okay? And I'm saying this because I love you. Now, remember, you all are my Honduran congregation. You know, don't look as good as they do, but, well, I love you. Yeah. But anyway, so you're my Honduran congregation, and I'm trying to encourage you, folks. Let's get hooked up with what the Lord is doing, okay? Doesn't matter what you did in Egypt. It doesn't matter. Just leave it in Egypt, okay? Leave it in Egypt, all right? Don't let what goes on around you, not even in your country, take you out. I'm going to just end with this. Where was Moses born? Come on. He was the leader. You know Moses, the same one that we talked about that God spoke to. He was born in Egypt, right? Okay. Did Moses ever sin? Huh? What? Tell me one thing that Moses did that the Bible talks about. Murdered. Right? I mentioned Hesser. I mentioned Sesser and Brenda, and so many others. Michelle and, not you, that have committed murder, but they're disciples of the Lord. But I want to tell you something. Moses was called by God to lead the people. Where did Moses get so frustrated at that he really just didn't listen to God anymore and missed it? Where? In the desert. Where did Moses die? In the promised land? In the desert. Moses is figurative of the Old Testament, and Moses and the Old Testament law could never be compared to Christ and his grace and salvation in the New Testament. So in essence, he had to die in the desert. But the only reason he died in the desert is because he disobeyed God. That's the only reason. Don't let. And why did he disobey? Frustrated with his boss, I mean, he didn't have a boss other than God. He was frustrated with his people. You don't get frustrated with your people, do you, Ashley?
Nah.
Your people are angels, man, you know. Okay. Don't let whatever it is, young people, don't let your friends in school or even the teacher and people teasing you and all of that take you out or cause you to go back to Egypt, because everybody in Egypt died. Okay? I meant Egypt was just wiped out. You don't want to be wiped out. Okay? Everything around you and all of those around you that are making your life tough, a living nightmare, they will be gone and you will be standing if you hold on, if you become aware that the Lord spoke and established for your life. Okay? Thank you. Thank you for listening.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.